lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Oh, what a headshot! What a hit! Well, you take a second in these circumstances. What you have seen.
Welcome, everybody, to the LFC Couch. I don't even know what episode number this is. It's not important because we are recording live at the home of LFC New South Wales, the best supporters club in the world. Number one LFC supporters club in the world. That's the one. As I said, with cheers, I'm Nick Koloski, joined by Peter, the coach Kafinas. How you going, Peter?
Very good, thanks yourself.
Not too bad, mate. How's
we've
the old...
We've got guests with us as well.
Yes, we do. I was just going to ask, how's your noggin after the game last night?
No, I don't want to talk about the game last night. We've got better things to talk about in front of us.
We do indeed. It is a special episode, one we are privileged to be in attendance with the one and only Jamie Webster.
Hello, boys. How are you?
We are very, very well. And we've also got Jockey, the man behind the famous trainers store now in Liverpool. You know, it's just I love the whole concept of just getting like old trainers and things like that.
Yeah, good day. Good day.
How are you going?
Thanks for having us, yeah.
Very good. And, of course, Jockey's joining Jamie on this tour here. I think you're a part of the whole Jamie Webster experience.
Part of Cotmania, but also independent of it as well, really. I mean, Jamie isn't even part of Cotmania. You know, he's independent, does his own stuff.
Oh, so be. So contrasted.
So, but, yeah, it's we're enjoying the... enjoy bringing a little bit of Scouse land down under, you know what I mean? People are loving it.
No, yeah. We do love it. And, of course, you were part of Transalpino. Transalpino, that's right. We'll get into that very, very soon. I'm very interested in talking about the whole clothing and the shoe culture with football. It's something that I'm very fond of, and I think it just goes to show what footwear can sort of bring to football in a way, I guess, as well.
Yeah, it's not just footwear. It's I mean, we're not an LFC
not
brand.
Not just footwear. It's t-shirts, fucking caps. I've got it all on.
Oh, can we swear? By the way,
yeah.
Why not? Oh, let's give it a go.
But yeah, it's like we're not an LFC brand. We're a terrace brand, and in the last few years, we've rose quite quickly due to Liverpool's success. Just similar. Alongside what Jamie's doing, I mean, he's a good artist in his own right, but he's blessed that he supports Liverpool as well.
What Jockey probably is too modest to say is nearly every kid between the ages of 14 and 25, and even older than that, in the north of England, and even now merging in south and everywhere, basically amongst football fans, they all wear his gear, they all wear Transalpino. Wow. So you look into any away end in the Premier League, you'll probably see that 30% of it has got Jockey's clobber on.
That
but he's just
massive.
Too modest to tell you stuff because he's a nice fella.
That's massive. That's a big market share when you think about all the other brands you're competing against when it comes to what they're wearing in the terraces.
Yeah, because basically we've got a foundation as well going back many years, as opposed to we haven't just got up one morning and thought, let's print t-shirts. We've got like a foundation. I've been to 37 countries watching Liverpool, so we have got we are well qualified to have a terrace brand, if you like. And the lad who works with me, my partner Jay Montessori, is actually a Tranmere fan. He was once part of 80s Casuals but crossed over and joined us when we relaunched in 2015.
That's not bad. So it's been going on for a while now.
2006, yeah. But the name Transalpino comes from when we were kids following Liverpool, like 13, 14, 15. We were going to Europe at that age, and we were travelling on a student rail ticket called Transalpino. And we were bringing back all the Italian sportswear and the Adidas shoes, what you couldn't get on in England at the time because of austerity back then as well. So we're bringing all that stuff back. So collectors nowadays, the older lads, they understand the word Transalpino resonates way back to then when us kids were bringing the stuff back. But enough about me, let's talk about Jamie.
So what Jockey's trying to say was, when he was younger, he was like the Robin Hood of casual clothes, shall we say. Used to
redistribute.
I used to take it from overseas for let's say a five-finger discount and bring it home.
So Liverpool's Robin Hood.
Yeah.
Redistributing. Him and his band of merry men.
Yeah, redistributing the wealth.
Yeah,
it's not bad. Not a bad little caveat there to go on to Jamie Webster. You are wearing Transalpino, but you are the main man, shall we say, in Australia at the moment. You've just like spread like wildfire.
It's been the last 2 years, really. It's just I've been doing what I do for maybe 8 or 9 years now, but it just, since I'm the most out of song and I lay, really just fucking rocketed it. You know, it's just like videos on social media, yeah. You just probably know the power of it yourselves.
Yeah.
It just, like, they just, once the right people had started sharing them, just, I didn't even have social media at the time that it all took off, so I had no idea how much it was getting watched or anything like that. Just people used to just, I get a phone call off on me, have you seen that video? It had like, I don't know, 50,000 views. I was, is that good? I don't know. once it started, oh no, it's on 1 million now and stuff like that. Oh, fucking hell, it must be all right.
But yeah. But on that, like, we know that we've seen the video and we've seen your reaction, but I want to hear it, like, from you personally, then when Klopp came in America, was it Michigan, was it?
Yeah.
Tell us about, go through that for a little bit, because that for me, that was watching the big man walk through those doors.
Yeah, it was fucking surreal, really. I think it was unbelievable. I mean, I heard the scream, I was singing and I just heard a scream. I didn't really know what to think. I didn't know whether someone had steamed in with a gun or something like that, you know, because just the nature of the actual reaction from the crowd, because they seen him first because of where they were facing. When I stopped, I just, obviously, my face says quite a lot on him. And just to see him stood there, and I just remember thinking, is he just going to stand there? And I thought, oh fuck, he's coming over. What am I going to do? But he was brilliant. And I think it speaks more for, like, what sort of a club Liverpool is and what sort of a manager Jürgen Klopp is. Because, to have it right, I think we played Man United on that tour. And could you have imagined Jose Mourinho at the time?
Nah.
Like, taking the time out of his schedule to go down to the hotel bar and see a local lad from Liverpool who's been over there playing Liverpool songs and stuff like that. I think it was just, you know, you don't get that in very many other places. You probably would get it. You get it lower down in lower leagues where the clubs are a lot more family-based and orientated. Mm. But, you know, Liverpool are the champions of Europe, and at that time we were still a massive...
Well, Klopp himself said he loves the LA song. And the way he bought into it and the way the city bought into it.
Yeah, well, I think Klopp just likes... I think he likes fan culture. Yeah. You know, besides the... Obviously, he was brilliant when he come into... It was in Michigan, wasn't it, when he come in? But on the second pre-season tour, just gone this year, I grabbed a beer with him, and I got a phone call off one of the camera lads, and he said that Jürgen had asked for me to come and see him in this pub on his last night of the tour. So I went for a pint with him, and so to speak, him and Pep Linders, and the pair of them were brilliant. It's exactly what you'd expect them to be. Like, you know, when they say don't meet your heroes, well,
yeah.
If you don't meet your heroes unless they're Jürgen Klopp and Pep Linders, because they're great. And even the things he was saying about the club, you know, he says he's seen videos of me, he's seen videos of, so not just me, the whole build up to Madrid, all the fans' videos that he posted online. He made fake Twitter accounts and stuff like that to access these videos.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because he wanted to see it. And
that is massive. How
exclusive
is that?
Here on the LFC couch.
And yeah, he was saying basically he was crying watching some of them, and it's not just me in LA. He loves fucking everything about Liverpool. You know what I mean? He's just, I don't think he'll stay longer than his contract, mind you. But it just goes to show what sort of ethos is there at the club at the minute. The fact that, you know, someone like me is even able to go out for a drink with someone like Jürgen Klopp whilst they're on pre-season tour.
I'll just butt in there, because I mean, not taking nothing away from you, but anyone can go out picking guitar up and start singing Liverpool songs, but again, you've got to have a foundation. He's got a foundation as a match going kid. Before he's a singer, he's a cop out, he's a match going kid, so, and he knows all the, like, you could really call it the group of lads who he's grew up with going to match with. You could basically call them the A team, because the match going Reds who go everywhere, so anyone can pick a guitar up, but at the same time, you've got to have a foundation and a respect off the fan base. And now the old, how many fans have we got around the world? What, 40 million, 60 million? Everyone knows who Jamie Webster is, and if they don't, they're not really tapping into what's going on.
That's the nicest thing you've ever said to me. He's been fucking horrible to me, you know, all the whole time we've been here. He's been fucking horrible.
And he has to dress it up a little bit.
Yeah,
he's
gonna be nice.
I'm saying it as I see it. I've been around a long time, you know what I mean, and I've been a young match going kid scraping together every week your wages and doing what you've got to do to go and watch Liverpool FC. And what I'm trying to say to you is anyone can pick a guitar up, but then you've still got to have the respect of that fan base. Yeah. And the fan base started with just gangs of match going kids going to see him at first before things started, the domino effect, if you like.
Yeah. So where did that start? What made you want to pick up a guitar and start singing for Liverpool?
I'd always played the guitar. That's what it wasn't. Like Jockey said, it wasn't like I'd sat there and thought, you know what, I'm going to learn the guitar, I'm going to sing Liverpool songs, and I'm going to travel the world off the back of it, because it's not something that anyone would really think to do. Now that it's been done, they would, but it was just something that happened. So I've always played music, I played in bands and stuff when I was younger, but I swerved the music off to follow Liverpool home and away, because, you know, my dad had always told me that the best years of his life... I mean, my dad took me the home games, but, you know, to go away from home, my dad was working most weekends when we weren't playing at home. And he always said to me the best years of his life were following Liverpool Football Club around Europe.
And he was like, he's like my age group. Yeah. So his dad has seen, like, the first coming, if you like, the first dynasty, and now these kids are living it again. They've heard the stories for years, and now they must be pinching themselves because, four Europe finals in, since Klopp's been here?
Three. Yeah. And then a Wembley final.
Basel.
Three. Oh, including the Super Cup, you mean?
So yous are living what we lived in back in the 80s. Yous are getting that.
Yeah.
And you're right at the, you know, this kid's right at the top of it, if you like.
That leads me to my question I had for you. It was more so like, so obviously Liverpool now is in a very good place and the fans are kind of all happy and united kind of thing. The Liverpool of today that you're seeing with Jurgen Klopp and the glory days Liverpool that you saw growing up.
Yeah.
Compare the two. Like, what you see, is it the same vibe? Is it that same?
It's different, obviously. First of all, there wasn't social media back then. So when you go into the game, you know everyone by sight. Yeah. Now people know each other because they see them on Facebook and the friends with the friends with the friends. And people have internet personas now, don't they? Back then when I was a kid going to the game, to gain a bit of a reputation or something, you had to like either be funny, dress great, or just go everywhere. You know, there was a mixture.
Or be an hard case.
But getting back to your question, trying to
pick the teams,
put the two together. This is the best team we've ever seen. You know what I mean? I mean, Suarez for me was one of the greatest players I've seen in a red shirt, but he'll never be a legend because he never won nothing. You know what I mean? If he was in this team and he'd won something, he'd be up there with Kenny. But so as a footballer, he's one of the greatest I've ever seen. But trying to measure the two up is a bit different, because back then I was a young, reckless 18, 19 year old. Now I'm I'd like to think a bit more wise, 50 odd year old, so it's hard to measure up. And what it is, you just go with it, and let's hope it lasts forever. Like United had that 20-year run. Let's hope we're having that. You know what I mean? But you know, it's harder nowadays to compete, isn't it?
I guess you said the modern day support is very different to the support of your day. I think that one thing that separates us as a club is we still have the identity of being terrace fans, to use that term. What Pete just said, what's the vibe like, you know, now in the city under Klopp versus, you know, when he was Rodgers, when we were kind of there but we weren't quite there, or Rafa, were kind of there, weren't quite there.
Rodgers and Rafa give us a massive, the belief when we had Rodgers. I remember
they were great journeys, weren't they?
I remember the Norwich game, well, Cardiff away under Rodgers, it was like 5-6-3, you know.
No, I remember that one. Yeah,
goal. That was an unbelievable, probably the best Brendan Rodgers game I ever seen. Like, in terms of the day out with the lads and everyone going together. But I remember after we beat Norwich 3-2 with Rodgers, I remember we used to always go back to the Yankee, didn't we? After the away games, there was a pub in town, the Irish American Bar, which we used to go to. And I remember running around there with fucking Vinny Blockhead and all.
You must have been young then.
Yeah, I was young. I was,
2009? Oh, the Rodgers won 13-14.
I was about 19. 18, I remember running around saying, oh, it's fucking done, title's done and dusted, you know. The belief was still there. I think, if anything, now, we're more nervous, aren't we? Because we've seen us mess up that many times.
We're the only team to drop the title being first at Christmas, but one of Klopp's, when I think of Klopp, I think of, when he first came in, he said he wants to turn fans from doubters to believers, right? Because we are internally, I don't know, a bit pessimistic because we've been so close so many times.
Yeah.
What's different to the team now, do you think, versus the teams of old?
I think
we're horrible.
Yeah,
no, all... everyone hates us, yeah. And we thrive. We thrive on the haters. I mean, yeah. Half of them don't even know why they hate us.
It's the thing to do.
It's like I mean, I've woke up this morning and said to Franny, who's with us, we were watching the game, the commentary, and I said, can you imagine? I can't wait for the day when I hear the commentator say, and now Liverpool have finally clinched the Premiership title. That's all I want to hear. I mean, yeah. After Istanbul, I said, if we never win a game again after Istanbul, I'll die a happy man. But I just want to see that Prem. Now, yeah. My son lives in Australia. And if he came home for that, if we were going to clinch it at the same game, and he come home to watch it, I'd give him my ticket. Because I've seen them all. I mean, I've seen Liverpool win so many titles.
We plan on coming over if it goes that far.
Yeah, I'd give my son my ticket. He lives in Perth, and because he was like 3 months old last time we won a title. Mm. I don't even think he was born.
No, I've never seen him.
I mean, that's
we were born the year that didn't happen.
I remember we won when we were winning them leagues in the 80s. I remember we clinched the title against Tottenham at home, and I left at three quarter time. Like the gates used to open the last 15 to let if you wanted to go home early. We left early. That's how
expected.
That's how expecting it was to win titles. We just left and went to Boozer.
Mad. That trips me out. To say, oh yeah, this is wrapped up. Let's go get an early drink after the game.
Yeah, I remember thinking at the time, just imagine we went shit, but you never ever thought it was going to happen. Yeah. Like now, you don't think we're ever going to go shit. But if Klopp goes, who's there? There's no replacement, is there?
Yeah, no.
You can say Stevie and all that. He hasn't got a record.
Let's just avoid that conversation.
There is a bit of a debate amongst the LFC couch.
It's like turning the legends into a failure. You know what I mean? Imagine like Souness.
By nature, I always remember my uncle telling me this, and it was like by nature. Well, not by nature, rather by just off things that have gone by. Great captains don't necessarily make great managers. You look at Souness, you know, who was another captain?
Kenny's probably captain at some stage.
Shearer at Newcastle didn't go too well.
Roy Keane's had a little go at managing, hasn't he? Yeah, you know.
For Ireland and stuff.
And then look at the great managers like Mourinho and Benitez.
Klopp was in the second division.
Mourinho wasn't even a player.
Houllier was a teacher, wasn't he? Houllier was like a teacher.
Same as Ancelotti. It was all about, even though he played, he was teaching background as well. But I was just thinking, let's go to Madrid quickly. Let's think of that square. Was it Felipe? What was it called?
Felipe Luis or whatever his name is. Do you know what? It was Salvador Dali square or something like that.
Did you ever imagine that?
No, not for him. But when the first boss night that I played was the year Everton finished above us in the league.
It's a long time.
No. It wasn't. I think it might have been Rodgers' first season.
10-11, 11-12?
Yeah, or Hodgson's last. Oh, yeah, it was like, because we drew 0-0 and Everton finished above us and he was singing at the end of the game. We're looking down on a red shirt, I remember it, like clear as day. Because we all walked down to, and there was the capacity for that first boss night I played was maybe 70 people. And after people who come down to watch
was
me,
was that Neal Piche?
No, it was in Oscar's Park.
Oh, was it? Yeah. I remember it. Yeah.
And
yeah,
there was about fucking 200 people locked outside. From that, with a shitty sound system, you know, you're talking how many years later now? Maybe 8-9 years later to fucking Madrid, 60,000 plus.
U2's don't even. What did U2 get last night?
What did they
get?
They were wrong.
They never got that many, did they?
No.
So, did you get caught up by the club or supporters groups or anything like that?
I mean, my relationship with the club's built generically over the years. I think the boss night started to take off a lot more within the city when the Rodgers campaign, when we went close to winning it and sort of died a little bit of a death. Not a death, but it sort of stayed where it was after that. And then since Klopp come over, obviously, because even in the Europa League run, it just started to build and build and build and build. But no, you could never have foreseen that happening. But just on the day, I just remember the nerves building up. It wasn't more nerves, it was more of an eagerness to just get on. You know, because like the crowd were getting more up for it. The day was getting hotter. It was just like, oh, I'd done it the year before in Kiev. as well. But the club, so the club will phone me up here and there to do, you know, maybe sing some songs for a documentary or speak about a player or do little here and there appearances on, you know, the LFC TV channel. But they never really, it was never really like, put their arm around my shoulder until Kiev. They got in touch when we released the LALA for charity and stuff like that, and the club got in touch and wanted to do it in Kiev, and it was brilliant in Kiev, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kiev was brilliant. It doesn't get talked about as much because we didn't win the trophy. I mean, everybody, Liverpool actually made a documentary on the Kiev one, the boss night in Kiev, and like, they haven't made one about the Madrid one, because the only thing to make, to talk about, I think, about that trip to Kiev was the fact that we done that fan park, and it was the first time it ever went that well.
Well, Kiev, obviously we lost in Kiev, yeah. Right? But everyone compares Kiev to Athens. Now, Athens, we got beat. Everyone hated that trip. Kiev, everyone come home and went, what an absolutely great, we got beat, but what an absolutely great trip with him in the park. Everyone was in the park, the sun was shining. The only bad thing about us was we got beat, but what a trip and what a season is, yeah. As well. And you know what I mean?
I think that goes to show sometimes, though, that it's more than just what happens on the pitch.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean? that's what I should have said earlier. Yeah. For me, it's going to the game and like the kids who he knocks around with, it's not just about 90 minutes watching loads of millionaires kick a ball about, it's the whole social aspect, you know. Yeah, you're looking forward to all week, you're getting ready. You know, kids are even deciding what they're going to wear. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is where, you know, which is great for me. So
that leads into what I was going to ask, actually, leading up to games and stuff. Like, yeah. You know, when you plan ahead for a game. I mean, here in Australia, we've got our own league. Obviously, no, nothing compared to, it's probably compared to like the third or fourth level in England at the moment. But, you know, there is also that fan casual culture that goes on there as well. Everyone wears their, Elise or LSA. They wear their Adidas. They wear their Nike. They wear their Reebok. All these sorts of, you know, famous brands from culture. And I know even myself many years ago, I'm not heavily into it, but I remember I'd say, I'm going to wear these shoes for that game, or I'm going to wear this jacket for that game. Do you get a lot of that as well?
Yeah, of course. Everything, because it's about your peers. It's about your peers and getting a bit of respect. As I said before, back in the day, to have a bit of a reputation, you had to be funny or what you wore or be a bit of an hard case. And you know, I'm born in the shadow of Anfield, so I was watching fans go to the game when I was four, going up Everton Valley. And like me going to the game, I started going in the Anfield Road end, which was a little bit feisty that end at the time when I was 12. As a 12-year-old, sounds mad. And we were getting up to no good. We were going away to watch Liverpool, and I was looking at what everyone was wearing. This is like 78 now, 79, when things started changing from long hair to casual, what's now known as casual. Yeah. So I'd be watching what my peers are wearing and copying them. And now to go to the match and see young kids and older fellas all wearing my gear, I mean, I'd like to say it's a dream come true, but I wouldn't even have dreamt that. You know what I mean? And that's same, awesome. You probably wouldn't even have dreamt you're at the situation where you are now.
No, not at all. Obviously, like you say, from getting phone calls from the Kiev phone call to say Liverpool want you to play at the official LSC fan park. So then 2 weeks later, getting a phone call saying, "Oh yeah, we like the fan park. We want you to come on the pre-season tour." So then getting, you know, doing a run that we done last year in Europe again. 60,000 people in Madrid. The players' party after it.
Players' party. You haven't even asked them about that.
I got slapped in the face by Jürgen Klopp after we won. This is before we had the drink in New York. But I played to the players as they walked in with the cup, and it's just an unbelievable. Like, I played guitar with Alison. It's fucking,
yeah, that's another one. What was that like?
It was unbelievable.
Is he actually good? Can he play guitar?
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, he's probably better than me on the guitar. I don't know about his singing, like, but it's not bad. It's not bad.
Makes you jealous, doesn't it? Yeah, he doesn't even make you jealous of being in this situation.
But you know what? You don't even think about it. Like, I don't want to sound like a bellend or nothing, but you don't think about it. You just
do what you do.
You just do it, like, you know.
It's in the moment.
Australia.
You're there in the moment. You're going to enjoy what you've got.
Yeah, I've got mania to say, "Oh, do you want to come to Australia and do 4 or 5 gigs?" Like, fuck yeah, go ahead.
I said to him the other day, "Aren't you glad you weren't born in Evertonian?"
Yeah.
You're not going to sing about it.
You'd be back playing to the not even 70.
There'd be about 10 people.
But
there,
anyway, but have you listened to his own music?
Yeah,
his own,
yeah,
his
got an album coming out.
Yeah,
but
this is it. All this amazing journey that I've had with Liverpool. It's one thing. It's my dream. Once I realised I was nowhere near good enough to play for Liverpool, I thought, you know what, like, I wouldn't mind playing the guitar and stuff, and my dream's always been to be like a singer-songwriter and, you know, have music out there and travel playing music. So what Liverpool Football Club has given me, it took me around the world playing music, it's fulfilled half my dream, but it's also given me the platform now to fulfil the other half of my dream, and that's to sort of stand on my own with my own music, of my own views and reflections of what I've seen growing up and what my mates have been through growing up and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, I'm just made up that I can do it, and hopefully, well, I know anyway, because the support of the Liverpool fans for my first single, Weekend in Paradise, was phenomenal. Like, it really, really just, I didn't expect it to go so well, and the only reason it has gone so well, because I'm not modest, I won't say, because it's a fucking brilliant song.
It is a brilliant song,
though. Oh, Jocky will speak.
We'll listen to it on the way here, to be honest.
It's right.
The words, the lyrics, they're
very relative to people in Liverpool and our area and in England, like, but it's also because the Liverpool fans around the world have bought into me as a person, not just Jamie Webster, the Liverpool songwriter. It seems that they obviously like me and want to support me. And
so that's inspiration now for your album coming out. That's where it all comes from, or where else?
Yeah, well, where my album's going to come from. It's just basically things I've grew up seeing. So it's not going to be. The album's not going to be songs about, you know, Roberto Firmino and stuff like that. It's just, you know, I've sort of done that. And
you've upset him now.
Yeah. No, but you know what? The football songs will come, because football songs get made up every week when Liverpool win. So when a new Liverpool song comes and I'm playing a Liverpool gig, it doesn't take 10 minutes for me to go, right, yeah, there's that one. You know what I mean? But, like, pick up off what my mates are singing at the time and they'll come. But, like, for me now, writing and recording, it's songs about, like, what I've seen growing up, the backgrounds that my mates have grew up in, and everything really, just from a working class, you know, aspect. It's just basically the struggles and releases of working class life.
Alan McGee, the fellow who discovered Oasis, I know him, and he got in touch with me one day. He went, Jocky, he said, who's this kid, Jamie Webster? This is the fellow who discovered Oasis, he was the manager of Oasis and owns Oasis's first three albums. He phoned me and went, Jocky, who's this kid, Jamie Webster? I'm hearing a lot about him, I'm watching the videos, like Hughes, everyone's seen the videos. Yeah. And I said, well, come and see him. But he never ever made the journey up, and obviously Jamie's got his own management now, but it's probably his loss. It's his.
I'm only joking. He's me.
It's his loss, but for the likes of him, he's a heavyweight in the industry. And yeah, likes of him to be going, who the fuck's this Jane Webster? You know, he's not a fool. What he's looking at, he knows he's seen talent, and it's, even though, you know, nothing ever happens out of it, it's still a great accolade that someone like that's looking at you.
It's unbelievable. Like, I've grew up, I was only messing there. Obviously, Alan McGee's like one of the biggest names in the music industry. I've known, you know. When I heard that he was even interested in me, it was massive, massive, like, flattery, you know what I mean? I was made up. I got in touch with him and just said, oh, thanks, because he mentioned me in his podcast and stuff. And, yeah, he seems like, you know, he's given young musicians a chance. So, like, he didn't make it down to my set, but he's given...
He was impressed, though.
Yeah, he's given young musicians all over, you know, the northwest of England. No, all over England and, you know, the British Isles, really, a chance to go out and do what they want to do, so... Yeah, no, fair play to Alan McGee. It just goes to show the reach. Yeah, the reach that this sort of thing has got. Yeah.
Do you have any sort of plan? Because I guess what you don't want is to be, like you said, pegged into just being this Liverpool fan supporting chant.
Yeah.
And not be Jamie Webster, the artist, right? Because they're not two separate people. They go hand in hand. But do you see yourself...
It's just
branding yourself more as Jamie Webster the artist in future, or more...
I am Jamie Webster the artist, but I think it's hard now because they haven't heard the full catalogue of Jamie Webster the artist. Everyone looks at me and goes, oh, well, yeah, that song he's done's good, but I much prefer him singing the Van Dyke song and shit like that. You know? No, that's the way some people are, whereas other people will go, I'm fed up of his Liverpool stuff now, I want to hear what else he's got. Yeah. So it's just different people, but like, I think once people hear... Well, I'm confident in my ability, so I think once people hear some of my other songs that get released, which it won't be overnight, it'll be a year, 2 years down the line before that starts to really build. But I'm confident that once people hear that sort of stuff, I'll be able to stand on my own a little bit more, then, you know what I mean? And people will say, oh no, well, his songs on his own are good enough for me to appreciate what he's doing. Yeah,
as a Liverpool fanatic, you'd be a fool not to grab the opportunities that have been put your way.
Yeah, of course.
And it's the same with Transalpino. We're not a Liverpool brand. However, we're riding a wave of Liverpool's success. And again, we'd be fools not to cash in. At the end of the day, it's a business. We'd be fools not to cash in. And you're trying not pigeonhole yourself. But as for Jamie, as a mad fanatic, listen, sitting there with Alisson and partying with Salah and Klopp and the players, he'd be a fool not to take them opportunities.
Yeah.
So it's tough, you know what I mean? But that as again, a single weekend in paradise, nothing to do with Liverpool FC. I think it's a standalone piece of music. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah, a lot of people who follow Liverpool FC can relate to it. I'm not denying that. But a lot of people who follow Everton FC, Man United, Newcastle, all. You know, all the sorts. It's not even just bloody hell. People who go to raves over here and stuff like that, they've all lived that sort of thought. But no, for me, it's a dream come true to be able to release my own music. But at the same time, it's also a dream to. And then I've been to Russia 2-3 times to see Liverpool play. I went to Russia, St. Petersburg at 18. To watch Liverpool play, got chased around the city.
Did you go to that game? Yeah. I got done in.
Yeah, same. I got chased around the city by masked hooligans, got beat up on the train and stuff like that. You know what I mean? We've done that. Liverpool.
You wait for Cup?
Liverpool was my life. It was a way of life for me before them. I used to play in pubs for money to go and watch Liverpool play. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean? Like every. I'd fly home from Russia, I'd get on the Friday. And then Saturday morning, you'd be up going to West Ham on the coach, you know what I mean? And like, that was it. And I think that's why it took off and worked so well for me, because especially at first and further down the line. But, you know, when I was stood there in them venues playing the guitar, I think people were looking at me going, I'm just like him, you know what I mean? And like, he's a fan like me. And then I'm looking at the crowd thinking, well, I'm just like them. And I think if I wasn't early on, if I wasn't stood there singing and playing the guitar, if I couldn't do that, I'd have been stood in the crowd watching someone else do it. You know what I mean?
Connection between yourself and your fans. Yeah,
exactly.
Getting back to that St. Peter's game and what's relevant to you.
What's relevant
to you? I used to do an Anfield FM podcast, live radio, and we'd done it in the Liverpool bar in St. Petersburg. But it was like flies to shit, because that's where all the hooligans come looking for us. And we'd done a podcast and they attacked the bar. And we were in the cellar like this, like we are now. And I carried the podcast on through the fucking riot. one of my proudest moments. Yeah. They attacked the bar and we carried the podcast on.
So go on, talk about the attack. How did they attack you?
Sorry.
How did they attack? What were they doing?
It was called Liverpool Bar, and they heard we were there, so they come, but we were in a cellar, but as we were in the cellar, the windows could see out in the street, and they were trying to smash the windows. They come down the stairs, and there was coppers with them. Coppers had rumbled them, and they were throwing glasses and that, and we carried on. It's like the Kate Aidy of podcasts, brilliant. Oh, awesome. One of my proudest moments.
Yeah, we got
And then I got fucking battered later on.
We didn't talk about that.
We got chased off the train. Us, it was five of us. We lost one of our mates, Billy Carney. We lost Billy Carney.
Did
you know Billy? He's like, Billy knows. This lad called Billy knows fucking everybody at the game.
Wasn't you with us that night when they attacked the bar then? Churchill's?
No, I wasn't there. Mick
Woodburn,
yeah. Well, that was I first met Mick the night after. Yeah. He was with us when we got done in the second time. But we lost Billy So we were like, fuck, we're going to have to stay on the train and see if we can find him. So Billy had swanned off with another big group of fans. Billy was fine whole time. Billy was fine. And then we walked up the platform to go back. It was Mick Woodburn's idea. God rest him. He said,
he's dead now, yeah?
Yeah, let's go this way to back towards the ground, because all the hooligans will be in the city. And no, they weren't.
getting back to anyone can pick a guitar up and sing Liverpool songs. But they wouldn't have the foundation. But you know, he's the trials and tribulations of watching Liverpool FC as a kid. You know what I mean?
Well, to further compliment the work you've done, but also in Madrid. So I do travel to Madrid 2-3 times a year for football. So my background is I'm a coach. So I travel to Spain to do some education work. So I've got plenty of friends in Madrid. Been at Real Madrid for 20 years. Seen God knows how many teams turn up to that city of Madrid and be the away team, and. I was getting text messages. I was being a smartass as well, saying things like, "You've never seen this before, right?" You know, that city, Madrid is red. You know, stuff Madrid. I have to give it back because the year before in Kiev hurt. But the feedback to me, and with pure honesty, was, we have never seen a team do this to our city. No. We've never seen that. We never saw what Jamie Webster did. We've never seen...
The people in Madrid, you mean, yeah?
Yeah, so the locals, people who live there and supported Madrid their whole life, Madristas, whatever it is, they said, we have never experienced this in our city. So that's, I'm sure, maybe you don't know that.
Do you know what? I mean, I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised, because it's not just what Jamie Webster does, it's what Scousers do in general, you know what I mean? Like, I've seen us, we've done it for Basel in the cup final, didn't we?
Yeah, people just travel there, knowing they're not getting a ticket, but they want to be part of it.
You just overrun.
It's mad, we've got a mad mentality in Liverpool, and it's very hard to explain. You'd either get us... Or you don't. There's nothing in between. You get us
or you hate us all, don't you? You know
there's
what I mean?
Nothing really in between. It's like once we touch you.
It's like the video of Rome, though, before we went to Kiev. And it was that, I always will never forget the tweet, and it said, local police authorities, message to Liverpool fans, keep a low profile in Rome. And it said, Liverpool fans reply. There's that fella on the bike driving down the street.
Liverpool.
And there's about 12 of them on the back. And it's just like, yeah, fuck you. We're going to do what we want. You know what I mean? Sort of thing. And
another dangerous place, Rome.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all them things, the, like, about, you know, you're going to Rome and, we just didn't give a fuck. We just took over the city. And that's more about... Like that, them sort of things are talked about, and the more like that is what the culture is. You know, like it's all about the whole journey. It's even when you come over to Madrid and what you used to do for a match day. So you said last night you stayed out. Yeah. So from the moment you met up, had your first pint, first started talking about the match, started maybe watching a few videos on YouTube, whatever. Like together, you know what I mean? Together, like celebrating looking at the team, everything, that's all. And what happened after it, you know what I mean? Like, your bevies, your celebrations, what's going on tonight? This is all, like, it's all culture.
It's culture, right?
Yeah, us as two local... Well, I was going to call myself a kid. I still call people my age kids, this kid, that kid, and all that. And we do appreciate, even though we're local to Liverpool and born in Liverpool, FC, Anfield being our playground, we do appreciate... the people around the world who follow Liverpool. Everyone does, but you've got to appreciate it.
You've got to.
You know what I mean? With the biggest ever Evertonians say, oh, you're all from Norway, or you're from here and that. What do you expect if you're the greatest team in the world? You're going
worldwide
to attract
fans,
that?
You have a worldwide
football family.
Yeah, so we do appreciate the worldwide support, you know what I mean?
You get the odd gargoyles at home who are like,
but you get that anyway, don't you?
But it's like, you know, you can't, like, imagine I held that attitude. I come around the world and play to all these fans from far this season. Sometimes even, well, a lad come to Malta with me. I done a gig in Malta, the weekend before I flew out to us. So I flew home from Malta the Sunday, and I flew out to us. And the lads who come with me, Carl, he's like, you know, Carl Irvine, one of the most staunch hooligans for years gone by.
He'll be made up.
No, he actually will, though.
No, he is. He's
like
staunch.
But he's a proper hooligan. It's, the hooligan's actually been passed down his family years and everything. And he come with me as sort of a little, not a minder, but like, you know, sort of an in between person to like speak to people and stuff like that. And he stood on a stage in Malta, 1600 Maltese people singing "Ale, ale, 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 you'll never walk alone." And he was nearly crying. This is one of the hardest fellas to come out of the north end of Liverpool in the past few years. And he's nearly crying, saying, I've never seen it from
that way.
From this way, and he said, like, it was unbelievable. Like, it was brilliant to watch. It was one of the best things he's ever seen. So, like, I think people who do share that, who hold that opinion that, I don't know, you know, we shouldn't be this world, because they're not open-minded enough to like look inside and go, but look how good it actually is, you know what I mean? These people are just like us. The only thing is they talk different and they grew up in a different part.
Melbourne the other night was brilliant, and I can feel it in my water tonight. Tonight's going to be a great, I can just feel it.
It's going to be
a great night.
Worldwide fans, we see it when Liverpool come here to tour. They've come here many times. I was in Melbourne at the MCG, the 2013-14 pre-season. 96,000 fans singing "You'll Never Walk Alone." Yeah. That was one of the best things I've ever been a part of.
Never seen that in his life.
Yeah. But you get to see fans from all walks of life and culture come together and support one club. It's like, you know, Liverpool, we're family. Like, we come from different parts of the world.
Once
we've got the worldwide appeal, but even as a Liverpudlian living inside Liverpool and seeing the highs and lows, you know, the 70s and the 80s, you know, Hillsborough, when that all happened, and they had those sorts of things. Like, I mean, you go from the highest highs to the lowest lows, and then you get back up again. Yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, you went through it. What was that like?
It's crazy, and it's not just football. It's the city, the way the city was viewed by a Tory government, and not just us, Everton. So, I mean, we had nothing in Liverpool. I had nothing growing up, right? But I'd rather be a kid when that it was then than being a kid leaving school now, because even though it seems we had nothing, we had everything as well. Hard to explain that, but we were hated after the Toxic Riots in 81. You know, Thatcher and her government didn't want to give us nothing. But we were so arrogant. Liverpool and Everton were winning everything. So Scousers were so arrogant then, and it was brilliant, Liverpool and Everton. It was crazy days, you know what I mean? And we had a swagger about us. Everton fell by the wayside, and we did as well. Not long after Heysel and Hillsborough, the old 90s. But we've always felt that we deserve better, because we've had it, and you want to touch it again, and now we're back up there, and it's, as I say, it's just brilliant, and long may it continue.
Yeah, one thing growing up in Liverpool does, well, growing up in the city, besides your football, makes you proud to be from the city, you know what I mean? And like, for me, like, I feel lucky that I can get out here and, you know, display the sort of Scouse culture to all these amazing parts of the world. But also, like, I feel proud that like, you know, I'm representing, like, the city of Liverpool, like, as you know, just as an individual. And like, you'd always look at Jockey touched on it then, one thing, I always like ending on something like this, but you know, as a city, Liverpool, if you look at, like, you know, the way we've been shit on in years gone by, both by the, even Hillsborough, that was a bit, we got shit on by the government there and the police forces, the people who were supposed to be there for you, because the way we have been shit on and the way that, like, our funding's being cut, we've got no right as, like, people to succeed. It's like people, you know, from a different heritage, you've moved into a new country, but you've got no fucking right to succeed. Like, especially people like Jockey, you know what I mean? I think Jockey's a great example of this, because he actually lived through the bad times, whereas me, I've lived a decent life. My man and dad give me everything that I've wanted, but like, people like Jockey and my half fella, they had no right to succeed in what they do. But yeah, here we are, Liverpool as a city, both economically and in sport, swinging digs, if you like, with these massive, you know, cities like Rome, Barcelona, Munich, and even like, no disrespect, like, just Sydney, and you know, these huge cities, these huge, and we, one of the main people thing off everyone's lips now in the world is Liverpool, and it's down to the football team being brilliant, but it's also down to the people representing the football team in the city and everything else. And yeah,
is there another city in the world as well, like you've just touched on there, saying bringing Scouseness somewhere else? There's not another city in the world what can transfer that across continents. We're bringing a little bit of New York to Sydney. It doesn't happen, but we are bringing a little bit of Scouseness all over the world. I mean, you can bring Italian to somewhere and a country, but we're just a little dot in the northwest of England, where, you know. And we're trying, you know, but we've got big ideas, don't we?
It's got to show, though, that, like, you know, because in England, a lot of people don't tend to, you know, like Scousers too much. But, you know, every time I come abroad, I always get made to feel really, really welcome. Even now, sat with yous, like, you get it, you laugh, you know what I mean? You understand us. So I think outside of England, everybody must have a little bit of Scouse in them to understand, you know, and to crack on with us, sort of thing. Yeah, because since we've been here, no, everyone's been brilliant, though, haven't they? Like, people get us when we're here, and It's just, yeah, I just want to say thank you for having us and everything.
Thank you for sitting. I mean, we're halfway across the world, but at the same time, like, you know, I've nothing to do with England or Liverpool. I come from, background is from the Balkans, but son, I feel Scouse.
My son lives here in Perth, and my son lives in Perth, and my two grandkids, his wife's a Man United fan. Oof. And my two grandkids are born here in Aussie.
He was calling his grandkids a wolf the other day on the phone.
I've got to keep them Scouse, even though they've got Aussie passports, born in Aussie, but I still want them to grow up with a bit of Scouseness in them, you know what I mean?
I travelled a couple of years ago when they were doing the renovations on the grandstand, so I couldn't actually go inside the tour, but I spent literally the whole day from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. just all over Liverpool, and I just felt like I knew it like the back of my hand, you know. I just felt like it sounds corny to say, but I felt like I was home in a way, you know what I mean? Like, it just felt like, I can't believe I'm here. I'm here. I'm literally walking around Liverpool, you know. Just,
you know what I mean?
Everything.
We're used to it. We don't appreciate it. Well, we do, but we don't.
But it's probably like when we were walking down the harbour yesterday, looking at the Opera House, going, fucking great, this, innit? And you probably think, oh, and the way we look at Bondi Beach and the beaches, and we're like, wow, look at that sand.
And usually, yeah, no, it's just sand, you know what I mean? As we see it every day.
It's a bit hot in the sun.
You must take it for granted, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I mean, sometimes you don't realise how lucky you are, but.
But no, we are blessed. We are blessed just being born where we're born. We're blessed by geography, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah.
And having such a great football team.
I just always thank the lucky stars that my granddad was a Liverpoolian.
My grandfather's an Evertonian.
Was he, yeah?
I was born in between Liverpool and Everton's grounds. And do you know, I've become a Liverpool fan mainly. I used to mind cars when I was five. I started work when I was five, right? And I used to make more money.
The authorities don't hear that now.
I used to make more money. Liverpool fans, Everton fans, thought. I mean,
Liverpool's the way to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever seen that at Anfield? It's like a thing of years gone by. Like if you park like within after like 2 miles of the ground, if you leave your car, there's like groups of kids who sit on the street corners.
Yeah, young on you've seen it in movies and stuff. And yeah, it's like I'll park your car. Yeah, it's like
not park it, just mind it.
Oh, yeah.
So you give them £2, and then. Whatever the fee is, if you shortchange them, you come back, your car will probably be on bricks.
One day we were manning cars.
That's what it was, and that was jockey.
We was manning cars one day, and we were playing Man United, and a Man United fan, I said, mind your car, please, mate. And he went, I've got a Rottweiler in the back. No one, he didn't need his car, mate. I've got a Rottweiler in the back, and I just said, stay back to him. Does it put fires out? We land on that.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. Once again, thank you very much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. It is fantastic to have you here, Jamie. Likewise, Jockey, and your success from the clothing store. Carragher's been there. We know that. You know, shoes are on fire. Adidas, personal preference?
I'm not a collector, you know. I'm a dealer, and there's some. It's mad. I'm a dealer. But my personal Adidas shoe. Oh, SL80.
That's one of the popular ones.
Oh, SL80 for me.
I'm an Adidas man. I think Peter is as well. We just love Adidas and just the whole thing.
It changes, like, but SL80 at the moment's my favourite.
I used to be Adidas. Now I'm Nike for the time.
Yeah, and we've started doing Nike, so you've got to move with the times as well. Yeah.
And of course, you've got your own product as well. You're wearing a shirt now, around Transalpino, and Jamie's got one as well with the Liverpool skyline in the background. It's great.
I'll
boss colours of Liverpool. Again?
I'll probably end up buying that shirt.
I reckon that's a goal as well. I like it.
Well, yeah, getting back, walking around Madrid and seeing everyone in my gear, it was like he pinches himself that what he's doing. I was pinching myself, and at Scarf and Badge as well, another Liverpool brand. It was mad how, like, it was just full of Transalpino and at Scarf and Badge and a couple of other scouts for seeing that. Again, there's lads who are riding the wave with Liverpool's success and all independence and good on them, you know what I mean?
Any chance of being an online seller sending across the world, or is it still Liverpool?
Been online since 2006.
So I have proper online.
Yeah, anyone listening to that, just Google Transalpino and go to. Yeah, we ship everywhere.
I reckon if you see a spike of sales in the next couple of days, because of this.
Yeah, but we do ship to Australia. We do get quite a few orders from Australia anyway.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But yeah, this is obviously while I'm out here now promoting and trying to. Turn it into a global brand.
Yeah, just before I go, I want to say to anyone who hasn't heard my single, Weekend in Paradise, it's on Spotify, iTunes, and everything, so give it a listen.
And listen to it because it's absolutely bang on.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I think our unofficial member, Jussi Häkkinen, can take solace in that as well. He plays guitar, sings along as well. Jussi, there's hope for you yet, my friend. But thank you very much, Jamie. Thank you very much, Jockey.
Thanks, boys. Thanks
for we're looking forward to a very great night ahead. And from myself and the rest of the couch, thank you very much for listening. And up the Reds. We are still undefeated and still going strong.